When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Welcome to the status quo. Mike McCarthy's coming back for the Cowboys.
Okay, take it easy. It's the start of the hour. Jeez.
Just going to lay out where we are, at least me. You speak for yourself, Cowboy. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike McCarthy's back, and Jerry Jones has talked about the importance in his consideration of all the success that they've had over the last 3 years during the regular season. That's great. That's what you're about. So we went from Jason Garrett, 8-8, 9-7, occasional 10-6. That was good for us for a while. But you know what? We need to take the next step. So let's take the next step. We'll go win 11, 12 games, and then we'll lose in the playoffs again. So that's what we're doing. That's the plan. Jerry Jones, totally good with it. Absolutely happy to continue losing in big spots. That's what it says.
How you
to me.
Interpret this?
Well, yeah, maybe it's a little extreme, but it's not. When we all know what the problem is, and yet we're not addressing it, that to me is willful ignorance. And when you're in this situation, and you're the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, and you try to preach to me about how winning Super Bowls is what it's all about, just honestly, go kick rocks with that, because that's not what it's all about.
Is the problem here our perception of this franchise? Because it feels like when they flame out in the playoffs, we come down really hard on them because they didn't do what they were supposed to do in our eyes. But maybe that's just not who they are. They're really not that great. They're not a top-tier organization. In terms of valuation, business perspective.
Oh, yeah.
But in terms of an actual winning franchise, like right now, the Niners are a gold standard every single year, deep in the playoffs, assuming there's no injuries. Kyle Shanahan's looking at his fourth NFC championship game if he wins this weekend. You look at the Baltimore Ravens, John Harbaugh every year has them in a respectable place. What New England used to be. There are these teams out there. Kansas City, the bar is essentially Super Bowl or bust with them. Mm-hmm. Buffalo is held to a high standard because they've shown us they can make a deeper run. Cincinnati, outside of the injuries, we hold them to a high standard. We hold the Cowboys to this high standard that they never meet, that they haven't met in decades. And then yet when things like this happen, we look at them and go, oh, you're making all the wrong moves. Like maybe within the organization, they're saying, what are you talking about? We're in the playoffs again. You guys hold us to this high standard. We're not holding ourselves to that high standard. We want to win a Super Bowl, but we've won 12 games 3 years in a row. Like, to them, I think they view themselves as successful, whereas we have this image in our mind that they're supposed to be this crown jewel, and they've shown us repeatedly over the decades they are not that team.
It's a loser's lament. That's what you're bringing up.
That's what losers do.
All right, but does Belichick, does Brady, does Andy Reid, does Patrick Mahomes, do they ever walk away from a season in which they don't win a championship and said, yep, good job, everybody. We're right on track of being that excitingly average team.
But why do we put Dallas in the category with them? That's our fault. Because Dallas is walking away saying, look, we're disappointed, but look, we had another good regular season. They keep telling us that. Yes, we're disappointed in the playoffs, but we had a good regular season. And then you're using the example, rightfully so, of Kansas City, of Brady back in the day. Those guys truly hold themselves to championship standards. The Cowboys don't. It's just words. Our problem is that we buy into the words.
No, here's the thing. Kansas City, just for that instance, for the longest time, it's exactly what the Cowboys are right now. Win a ton of games during the regular season, don't get it done in the postseason.
Yeah.
And what kind of coaches did they have along the lines when those were the cases? Respectfully, because he's a terrific man, Marty Schottenheimer.
Correct.
Mike McCarthy is Marty Schottenheimer. He could not win big games. He lost so many playoff games in big situations because, again, there are people that can only take you so far. Now, there is only one thing that I really, truly am okay with if this is the route that Jerry is – going. Like, I would be through the roof annoyed if there was a contract extension that was happening for Mike McCarthy.
Now, rewarded.
But it's not out of the realm that that could have been discussed because he's going into the last year. So here is McCarthy on the notion of being a lame duck head coach.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, and I've been asked this for 20 years or ever how long those questions pertain. I've never talked about a player's contract, coach's contract. I mean, I'm not going to start today. But I will say I am very confident in the direction, and I like where we are, you know, as far as moving forward. So I'm very confident where I am.
Stop. Again, losers lament. Losers lament across the board. Not going to talk about a player's contract. Not going to talk about my contract. That's fine. I don't expect you to give me the honest truth on any of that right now.
He also just hit the lottery by being brought back another year.
Okay, great. He was getting paid either way.
Either way, yes.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's hitting the lottery so much, but I know what you mean. I'm not talking about, you know, financially, but the point is that if you are Jerry Jones right now, at the very least, you didn't make this worse. Like, I'm trying. This is me grasping for the silver lining. At least you didn't double down on it and really stick it to me.
The problem is it feels like you're throwing away next year. That's yes! what you're doing. You're throwing away next year because we just watched this exact situation play out. Jerry, Dallas, you're the Spanos family. You're the Chargers. Everyone knew Brandon Staley needed to go after that Jacksonville debacle in, what was it? The wild card round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Huge lead at the half. They blow the game to Jacksonville, and everyone's sitting there going, that's it. Staley's got to be gone. He clearly is not ready for this job. Maybe he comes back down the line and he's better, but he clearly isn't ready for this job. Spanos family brings him back. What ends up happening? Chargers, like usual, go on the same path they go on under Staley. They lose a bunch of close games, finding new and inventive ways to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And at the end of the season, the Chargers say goodbye to him. In fact, it wasn't even the end of the season. They ran him out before. So now here are the Cowboys flaming out in the wild card round of the playoffs, saying, we like the coach enough to bring him back for the final year, but we don't like him enough to give him an extension. Which tells you everything you need to know. You're just going to flush this year down the toilet. McCarthy is essentially in the on-deck circle for getting fired.
Yeah, and what's even more troubling about it is that you're going to go into offseason next year. Are you going to have Bill Belichick, Jim Harbaugh, and Mike Vrabel available to you to fix the problem? Like, that's the even bigger thing. Like, it's not just don't get rid of them. It's there are really good solutions to the problem out there, and I am choosing to ignore them for the moment. I honestly think that the Cowboys, in many ways, like they to me had so many options of where they could go for their head coach to really be an improvement. It's great that he does this as much as he does during the regular season. It's just gotten to the point where that just doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. I'm sorry. When you get to the 2 seed, why was that important? Why was that important?
All that talk about getting past Philadelphia didn't mean anything.
Didn't mean a damn thing.
Nothing. You won the division. The division turned out to be really soft, and that's that. I mean, Detroit made it further than you. The fact that Green Bay came in and embarrassed you like that, it's a fascinating case study in a very wealthy, successful individual who's in his 80s saying, I am not listening to what you peons have to say about my business. I know best. I can win with Mike McCarthy.
Let's just talk for a moment, though, about, you know, not just throwing away next year from McCarthy's standpoint. Is it going to be easier next year to go and win the NFC East and get back to the same position with what they are facing in the offseason?
I mean, this year was a layup. This year was a layup. You got a very inexperienced team that came to your house in the opening round. 7.5-point favorite. Should have handled that. Your other threats were a Philadelphia team that was just imploding by the day. Gave you the division at the end of the year. Outside of that, you have a Tampa Bay team in the playoffs that is beatable. You have the Niners, which is the one formidable opponent. You would have hosted Detroit. It's not going to get any better. Detroit will continue to get better. Detroit's one of the youngest teams in the NFL. Green Bay is going to continue to get better. Philly probably can't get worse. I would say, considering what we saw at the
end
of the season.
Probably not, although they're losing a ton of leadership, presumably.
Yeah. Rams are going to continue to get better on the rise. You have to figure the rest of the NFC South between Carolina, Atlanta. If Atlanta gets Belichick, formidable. Bears, perhaps they take another step forward. Minnesota, they were middling around. It's not going to be easier next year. You're going to have Mike McCarthy, not a wartime consigliere, trying to navigate a more difficult wartime path next season. Good luck.
Todd Archer covers the Cowboys for ESPN NFL Nation, and he pretty much lays out what next year is going to look like, not from a Cowboy win-loss perspective, but from a perception perspective and a national narrative discussion during the course of the year.
For McCarthy, I mean, absolutely. Every win or every loss is going to be, well, is he get fired this time? Is he going to be the head coach? If they don't get off to a fast start, does Jerry make a move? Who's the defensive coordinator? If Dan Quinn goes, what do you, you know, there's just so many questions. But I think for McCarthy, it turns into a, barring some agreement that we don't know of, every week's a referendum on Mike McCarthy and the job that he's doing.
Look forward to that. I know that's, as a fan, that's an exciting conversation to have each and every week. Hey, when are we going to fire him? Are we going to fire him?
Doesn't it feel like a mid-season sort of thing?
Yeah.
Like Jason Garrett with Wade Phillips?
It does. It absolutely does.
Kevin Clark, a friend of ours who we've had on the show before, Kevin Clark has a great term for this. It's called pre-fired. Has there ever been a coach more pre-fired than Mike McCarthy? Meaning you've got your job, but everyone knows you're on your way out the door. He mentions Mike Mularkey was an all-time pre-fired coach, and he's got a few others. Like, when you go into a season, Brandon Staley this year was pre-fired. We all knew it was coming. Has there ever been a coach more pre-fired than Mike McCarthy entering next year?
It's an amazing question. And frankly, I mean, we could do some research and go down the list, but there isn't too many people that come to mind.
Evan's got one, but he's munching on something. Hit the mic if you want.
Robert Saleh enters next year pre-fired, no doubt.
Robert Saleh is definitely entering next year pre-fired. He's got a chance to save, though, because he's got Rodgers. If they win with Rodgers, he can save it. McCarthy is very pre-fired going into next year.
Yes.
And by the way, again, Kevin Clark's term, he deserves his roses for that. I love that phrase.
Don't forget, the savior is coming. You'll be fine. Everybody, it's going to be all good. It's going to be all flushing out all of the distractions out of the Jets building.
No more BS for the Jets this year.
No more garbage. No more garbage at all. It's going to be all about winning and COVID vaccine takes. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and many other conspiracy theories. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. My friends, Progressive makes it easy to save money. When you bundle your auto policy with home, condo, renters, you'll get a multi-policy discount. Easy to bundle, easy to save. Visit progressive.com. All right, your chance to weigh in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Was it the right move for the Cowboys to bring McCarthy back? And why was it not? More specifically, it's all next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8. SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Break. breaking news, Mike McCarthy remaining in Dallas.
I think they viewed it as him winning 12 games in three straight seasons. And even though there's only one playoff win to show for it, they thought, you know what, we're going to run it back, see if we can make it work.
They get bounced one and done. I am very, very surprised that he did not make a move at the top. And now I'm curious, does he extend Mike McCarthy, or does he make him, as he did with Jason Garrett, prove it this year on a lame duck contract?
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. I got to thank you, by the way.
Oh.
Went to the event last night out in Pennsylvania.
Oh, the little Hall of Fame event. Let's not be shy.
Yes. It was very nice. You know, started my career in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, doing minor league baseball. And they put me in the Hall of Fame last night at the Williamsport Cutters with Bowman Field. And it was very cool. Really enjoyed being out there. Got a little nostalgic.
You thank your wife?
Did not take my wife.
No, thank your wife.
I did thank my wife.
Okay. Yes. We were all wondering about that yesterday. You seemed quite resistant to thanking your significant other, which we found odd. But
if we're being truthful, she wasn't there. but then again, when I thought about it after the fact, I think you put it pretty well. If your wife was here right now and had never shown up, would you be in jail? Maybe.
Yeah. Would you still be producing at such a high level?
Probably not. So here we are, and yes, there was a thank you to the wife.
Don't see the Bills bringing back OJ for OJ Simpson Day.
that might
be a bit far.
Probably so. Do with that what you will.
Yeah. That comment may have been a bit far.
Again, knocking me off track. What I would say is this was a very Fortinbaugh open, I thought, to the brief speech that I gave. You know, they get up, they do an introduction video, and I have to thank Joe because he did a very nice video as part of the introduction video for the people out there.
Unpaid, by the way. I want that on the record. Unpaid.
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 Joe Fortinbaugh is nothing if you're not magnanimous.
Yeah. I think it was a thank you email, which it suffices, but, you know.
I got up there and, you know, everybody's clapping and whatever, but they're all sitting, you know. Most of the people.
They didn't stand, huh?
No. And I got up there and the first thing I said is, no, please, keep your seat. It just thought, you know, that reeks of Fortinbaugh.
It's a great line. Yeah. It's a great line.
It was a good way to start.
Oh, it probably killed, too.
Oh, it was good. It was good.
But
it was
a lot of fun.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Who else was a part of the thank you videos?
Of the congratulatory videos, yeah, it was very cool. I had Murderers Row up there. Dog, Chris Russo.
Okay.
Kevin Burkhart.
Whoa, that's a big name.
Tom McCarthy.
Another big name.
Yep. And Bob Beeler, who is like my mentor in business, who's the voice of the Boise State Broncos, and basically taught me everything I know about doing games and kicked my ass when it needed kicking. So it was great.
I'm honored to be a part of that group.
It was very good. It was very cool, and I enjoyed it a lot.
So okay. Congratulations to you. That's what it's about. It's nice of you to say that. You don't owe me thanks for something like that. Handman's the true artist. He came in and shot the video. I think we needed to do it twice.
Yeah.
The cinematography was wonderful.
Great job, Eric. Storyboard the whole thing?
I did think it through. I got to open this video with some pop, and I opened it with some pop.
Yes. He started it with, God, this guy is the worst guy ever to work with ever. Hardest. Oh, I didn't see you there.
Let me tell you about the easiest guy I've ever worked with in my life.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
So good.
Want to hear from you. It was really, really good. You did a great job. And it drew big laughs. Big laughs. And that's what Fortinbaugh wants. Jason in South Carolina is up on ESPN Radio. Jason, what do you got, dude?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Lifelong Commanders fan and all the other names they've had. So this choice is great. I love the choice that Jones has made. I do have a question. Why don't we have the same conversation about the Steelers organization? Do they not want to win? Tomlin, to me, is overrated. He's won, you know, all these winning seasons in a row, but they're not winning the Super Bowl. So I know that Dallas takes up a lot of the limelight, but I would look at Tomlin's situation the same as this. He's not winning. And do the Steelers not want to win going forward?
Okay, I mean, it's a fair question as to why that's the case. I can give you two decent answers on it.
Ooh, I got two as well. Let's see if they match up.
Okay, number one is that I have never looked at a Mike McCarthy team and thought, man, he got everything out of them. He got the absolute most that he could out of a team that wasn't all that talented. I look at the Steelers this year, and I look at a team with major quarterback issues, a defense that was not nearly as good as it has been in the past, and they still got to the postseason.
To build on that, yes, that was one of mine as well. Tomlin exceeding expectations regularly, yeah. McCarthy falling short of expectations regularly.
And you also have to look at how the organization has done business. That particular team has had three coaches in 50-some years, and unless you go 4-12 a couple of years in a row, you're not getting fired from there. And that is why those coaches, like we talk about how they operate, that is why those coaches all stayed in place. They never felt like they were taking a massive dive from one season to the next. And the one or two times that they've been in the top 10 picking, well, they picked Ben Roethlisberger, and they ended up right back where they were.
Yeah.
So
I would build on that with my other one as well and say that Steelers ownership doesn't go out of its way to put a bullseye on its back. Jerry comes out and says things like Super Bowl's the expectation. The things he says, we react to. And as a result, we hold him to it. So when he talks Super Bowl, we're all saying, okay, let's see if McCarthy can get you there. You don't hear from Steelers ownership. You don't hear the big bluster and bravado coming out of Pittsburgh. They go about their business. Very blue collar, very, we're putting on our hard hats, we're going to work today, and then we're going to go home, probably have a beer, assess the situation, come back and do it again. Jerry puts the bullseye on his team's back. That's why we come for them. We don't come for Pittsburgh because, you know what? We respect the business model a hell of a lot more than a lot of other business models.
Steve's in Virginia next on ESPN Radio. Steve, what do you got on McCarthy? What do you think?
Hey, guys. Well, I want to harp on one thing, a couple of really quick points. Everybody keeps talking about these great seasons of 12 wins. Well, let's quickly examine this last season of who they beat. Redskins twice, Giants twice, Panthers, Jets, and the Patriots, and then they got by the Chargers. They barely won against Seattle, and they got a gift from the Lions. And when it comes to playing big-time ball, they're all pro, which I think is hyped. Players do not show up. Where was Parsons during the last drive in the Lions game? Where was Dak and CD during this last playoff game? They play like two guys coming from two teams 2 days before the game trying to get to know each other. I just think, like what Joe said, the Cowboys are not really that good, and what they need is somebody to come in and spark a fire under their butts to get a little inspiration and intensity in their play.
Well, I'll say this. If you're looking for inspiration, Mike McCarthy's not your guy. He is not somebody that is going to walk in the door, be fire and brimstone, and get you all ready to go play. They obviously have found a coach who has had great regular season success, but for whatever reason, does not inspire to the next level.
The thing with the Cowboys is nobody fears them. There's nothing about finding out that they're on your schedule or that you've got them in the wild card round or the divisional round or whatever it may be, and you're like, damn, we got to go through Dallas. Nobody wants to draw the Niners. Nobody wants to draw the Ravens. I don't think anyone's going to argue with that. You generally don't want to draw the Chiefs. Now, I know they're down a little bit this year, but that's okay. They're still alive, and they've got a playoff win and a divisional title. Chiefs are just fine. Nobody wants to see Mahomes on their schedule. The Bills are kind of in that category, too. You don't really want to mess with them right now. If you have other avenues, you'd rather deal with someone other than Allen and the Bills. And the same thing can generally be said about Cincinnati. It's like, oh, we got to deal with Burrow and the Bengals. Like, you see those teams, you don't want to deal with them. Cowboys aren't like that. You don't fear them. They don't come with a particularly stout defense. Quarterback play can be erratic at times. Coaching is an elite. You don't fear them. That's what Jerry should be worried about. No one actually fears playing his team. As the Packers just showed, walking into your house and just crapping all over the field.
Metaphorically.
Is metaphor. I don't think anyone literally did and it. That would have been odd.
And a strong literary one at that. How are you not an author? I would say one other thing here just quickly. Micah Parsons, guy wasn't wrong. We show up a little bit more when it matters.
Yeah.
He was a ghost the other day. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are still waiting on one other team in the NFC East. So, Philly, what up? What's taking so long? Next, right after I tell you about this from our friends at Indeed. Now, look, the new year is the perfect time to gear up and connect to quality candidates, and there's no better way to do that than through Indeed, the hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, interview, and screen candidates all in the same place. Their interview tool helps you schedule and conduct video interviews right from your employer dashboard. Nix the hassle. Start hiring. Indeed.com/credit.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
At the very least, there will be changes in Philadelphia, either with the staff or with players. There's going to be a lot of movement there. It just depends on if they feel like Sirianni can fix this next year.
He's a good leader for this team. He does a really good job. Did we come up short? Yeah. Did things happen this year? Yeah. No, I don't discuss about, you know, firing a man or, you know, this man got a family.
Will the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, act as he sometimes has in the past? That question's out there until the Eagles answer it, and that's why the question is asked, though I admire Fletcher Cox for his stance there.
Yeah, you're going to hear from Fletcher Cox in a moment, who absolutely went off about the pure speculation of the job of Nick Sirianni and whether or not he's getting fired. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Joseph, if they do not fire Nick Sirianni, I'm fine with it because I do believe that he deserves another season after what he has done his first couple of years. If they do fire him, though, it's got to be because Belichick's going there. It's got to be because Vrabel's going there. It's got to be a clear upgrade. And it's also got to be someone, in my estimation, that cannot be about whatever Howie Roseman wants and just being the guy that says, yes, sir, I'll do whatever you want. Because if it's just the next assistant, no.
What happened there? What happened? We got to get to the bottom of that. Obviously, Howie, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner, they're aware of what went wrong. We've got to know what went wrong. How the hell do you preside over one of the most epic collapses in NFL history? You were 10-1. You're coming off a Super Bowl appearance. You were cruising. And then you just get popped repeatedly. You show no resilience. You show no fight, no toughness, no leadership. That was the biggest concern. There was no leadership whatsoever down the stretch from any of the players or the coaching staff. If he's coming back, I understand. Maybe he can learn from that. But a worse job by a head coach in a tumultuous situation, I have not seen. That he didn't know what the hell he was doing at the end of the season.
And it's got to be even more difficult to try to answer that question in these couple of days, which is, again, why is it taking so long here on figuring out what you want to do? Because it was very clear early the other night that they were not winning that football game. So what is the latest when it comes to Nick Sirianni? Here's Adam Schefter, of course, our senior NFL insider.
Well, at some point he's going to meet with the Philadelphia Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, and that ultimately will be the meeting that helps determine his fate. Now, again, the Eagles are acting and have been saying that Nick Sirianni is going to be back, and he very well might be. But until we hear that from the owner, and until the owner signs off on that, we do not know that officially because it's going to be Jeffrey Lurie's decision.
And with Jeffrey Lurie, the one thing to remember is he doesn't come out and explain his decisions a whole lot. It's not like he's in front of the microphone very much. And what would worry me about this is what Jeffrey Lurie thinks is going to be what Howie Roseman thinks. At what point does Lurie recognize that maybe Howie is part of the problem as to what's gone wrong? Because there have been plenty of times when we went through a chapter and verse where if things went another way, just out of pure fortune in the way that Roseman wanted to do them as opposed to what actually happened and how it worked out, well, then the Eagles would be in a much different situation right now, i.e. the likes of wanting to draft Zach Wilson and trade up for him.
What do we attribute to this specific season's collapse to Howie Roseman? And this isn't me defending him, I'm just trying to figure out, like, I know what the coach is responsible for day to day, but when you're in the front office like he is, what is it he could have done differently? It feels like you paid the quarterback, who everyone said is an MVP candidate, you had the wide receivers around him, offensive line was supposed to be good enough. I'm not sure if the running back position was great, but you brought in DeAndre Swift. You were pretty deep there. You had some talent.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, you had a bunch of guys on the D-line. You paid guys in the secondary. Linebacker's a weak position, sure, but did he do something egregious in terms of roster construction?
Well, but look, we're all lauding them. They're going to be Georgia Northeast, right?
Right.
They drafted all these Georgia players. Jalen Carter looks like the real deal.
He had a pretty good season.
What about some of these other guys?
Carter lost a lot of playing time down the stretch. And a lot of people didn't notice this.
Yeah.
His playing time started, I don't know if his conditioning was good enough for a full season, which is okay. He's a rookie. That might happen, but he's not necessarily your runaway favorite to win Defensive Rookie of the Year anymore.
Okay, so just because you draft guys from Georgia doesn't mean that they're all going to pan out perfectly. But I think the bigger issue is, if I told you last offseason that the Eagles were going to have to replace their two coordinators after they went to the Super Bowl, who do you think makes the ultimate decision on who the coordinators are going to be? Do you think it's, at that point, has Nick Sirianni earned that by taking a team to the Super Bowl? He can figure out who his guys are going to be?
My thought would have been coach, but am I wrong on that? I always just assumed the head coach got to pick the coordinators.
I don't think he got to pick them. I think he had a voice. I think Howie Roseman ultimately is the guy that is making that decision.
Well, if that's the case, then that falls right on his plate.
Yeah.
Because what's going to get interesting here with Sirianni is this. Sirianni doesn't call the offense or the defense. He's supposed to be the guy that manages the locker room. He's supposed to manage the culture, much like Nick Saban in Alabama. That culture came completely unglued late in the season. He showed that he did not handle his leadership responsibilities well. He failed as a leader, and there's no one out there that can convince me of anything else. As a leader of that team, Nick Sirianni failed down the stretch. He could not rally the team. He couldn't even motivate them to play football. They quit at the end of the season. He had two coordinators that were a part of his staff when they went to the Super Bowl, who both went out and exceeded expectation. Shane Steichen did more in Indy than anyone thought was going to happen. Jonathan Gannon did more in Arizona than anyone thought was going to happen this year. Everyone thought Arizona might lose every single game, right? They were supposed to be terrible, especially without Kyler Murray. Those two leave, they have success. You bring in two new guys, you fail completely. If you bring in new coordinators this year and you have more success next season, you're back on track. What's Sirianni actually doing?
Yeah.
At that point, you're just looking at good coordinators as the guys that are running this thing. And when they needed Sirianni to rally the troops late in the year, he's nowhere to be found.
Well, one guy felt very strongly about Sirianni, and that's Fletcher Cox, who is asked about it in this exchange with a reporter from the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Come on, man. What is it to talk about, man? This man, he's a winner. He's a winning head coach. You know, do we have some bumps this year? Yeah, but every team, every organization, everybody goes through it. But we don't look at firing a man who, you know, obviously has won 10-plus games 2 years in a row, that's took this organization to 3 playoff appearances 3 years in a row. You know, that's a respect. You know, coaches, he's a good leader for this team. He does a really good job. Did we come up short? Yeah. Did things happen this year? Yeah. Or no, I don't discuss about, you know, firing a man or, you know, this man got a family. I don't discuss about anything about that.
Listen, I give him credit because he backed up his guy, but I go back to the same thing. What is, when you're trying to protect your power as opposed to what is the best decision for the organization, that's a problem. And I really get the sense a lot of that is what has gone on in Philadelphia over the last couple of years, because what do you do if you're letting Nick Sirianni pick your coordinators? You're empowering him.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to empower you more than I need to. Doug Peterson, major, major issue for Doug Peterson was, you know, I did win a Super Bowl here. You could have me, let me have a little bit more say in who's going to be on my coaching staff and who's not. What do you know? Doug's gone a couple of years later, or a year later, really, after that. I just look at this as a consistent power struggle between whoever the head coach is, and it's not even a struggle, I should say. It's a protection of power by one guy who has got the owner's ear.
Is this like the Moneyball concept we see in baseball, where like Kapler in San Francisco was brought in as the manager, and it's like, look, you're just down there physically. We're relaying all the information to you.
Yeah, I mean, just to make another quick point. Like, who do you think made the decision that Matt Patricia is going to be calling the plays now?
Oh, I don't know. I assume that was Sirianni.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whoever made that decision,
These are assumptions that I would not. Here's my point. There are assumptions I would not make. I would not make. Call it an informed opinion. I think there's a lot going on there that is not always in the best organization or best interest of the organization and what goes on as opposed to what's in the best interest of the general manager.
Very spicy. I've enjoyed this.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. It is Thursday at this time, and you know what that means.
You must be here for the trivia challenge.
Do you have the answer to this week's trivia question?
Oh, I love trivia.
What's up, boys? It's hammer time.
This is the Himbo Hammer.
Your question is this. During the Super Bowl era, which coach has won the most playoff games as the betting underdog? Good luck.
Which coach has won the most playoff games as the betting underdog?
I couldn't care less. What about the what's up, boys? Just straight to business?
No exchanging of pleasantries?
Rude?
See, this is the thing, and I love Joe for this. Love it. We've been working together, 4 months? First thing he does, how'd you slight me? I'm going to figure it out right away. How do you think you're better than me?
You're a guest on our show. You can't say, hi, how's it going? Hey, boys, hammer time.
Sometimes you want people to think differently than one another. You want to create a little fire and ice, so to speak. That I love about you because we are always, always going to look for how you are trying to screw me over and show me how much better you are than I am. And that's exactly what he went to. Wasn't, what's the question? I don't care. No.
I didn't even hear it.
You can't say hi? Seriously. What's going on there? We'll give you an answer in moments. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
Find the top products and quantities you need when you need them. Lowe's knows pros.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You must be here for the trivia challenge.
You have the answer to this week's trivia question?
Oh, I love trivia.
What's up, boys? It's hammer time.
This is the Himbo Hammer.
All right. What's this? Oh. Look at this. Carla versus Joe, ESPN Radio.
Except
they have brought in the ESPN Radio Pick'em Challenge championship trophy.
We would like to thank the Academy first and foremost.
Yes.
This thing is quite robust.
It is. Look at that. That is, yeah. This is a big time trophy right here. I love it.
It's like winning the PGA championship.
Did we have to put we have to put regular season on it first of all.
What are you doing? Why are we here?
And then there's Bubba holding up tiny trophy.
We have one for last place too. Oh, hold on. No. Zoom in. Can we bring in tight? Can we bring it in nice and tight so that people can see this here? Here it comes. Oh, this is wonderful.
Bubba from Greeny Show. They finished last.
We did it, Greeny.
Greeny,
it's a hell of a week for you.
Bubba, is it true that Greeny basically gave up about midway through the season?
No comment.
Okay. And then Bubba's screaming and yelling, we didn't get the trophy. We didn't get our names on it for last year when Greeny was using the old George Costanza from Seinfeld. I'm going to go the opposite of what my instincts are. And
the
when he won.
It doesn't matter. We won. Get our names on there.
That's a different radio lineup.
Nope. Listen, we may not get this Hembo question right. Do you think I could, can we put a chain on this thing so I could wear it around my neck? This is awesome. There's a lot of Shannon Penn, who of course
he
produces
is clearly
Freddie
not
and Harry,
happy,
giving us a golf clap right now. I'm sorry that we kicked all your asses. Be better. How about
hey,
that?
You guys put on a hell of a show. You guys turned a profit. These are against the spread picks, and several shows, not Greeny, but several shows around here actually did turn a profit over the long term. Very impressive. Carry no shame with your picks this year.
Right.
Amber and Ian, shame. Greeny, shame. The rest, job well done.
Good for you. You're just not good enough.
That thing's nice.
It is. I will say the cup is plastic. I mean, can we spring for the real thing here?
Well,
it doesn't have to be pure gold.
It is radio. Yeah, it is radio.
I'm very excited.
It's the fact that it's even acknowledged is something.
Bubba, just get Hembo Hammer wrong here. Well, let's find out again what the question was. But I'm inspired now that we have our trophy and it's in its rightful place. It's come home.
Your question is this. During the Super Bowl era, which coach has won the most playoff games as the betting underdog?
Okay.
Good luck.
What are you thinking?
Tom Coughlin.
Noodle it.
Tom Coughlin.
All right,
because
Coughlin.
I thought Giants first and foremost, and then, of course, he did it with Jacksonville when they went on an unlikely run in 95.
Coughlin, and I know this for a fact without looking anything up, the year that they took out the 19-0 Patriots, they were an underdog in all four games. Tampa in the wild card round on the road. Dallas in the divisional round on the road, Green Bay in the championship game on the road, and then the Patriots. You know how I know that? I bet against them in all four of those games, and I kept doubling it down right up until the Super Bowl. I was like, the Patriots will take care of this.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they did not. Yeah. Lost quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit on that run. So that's four wins, four against the spread covers.
And 2011, I mean, they were on the road in San Francisco. I think it's Tom Coughlin.
They've got a few. He's got a few of them in there.
Could it be Mike McCarthy?
I mean, that would be the ultimate. McCarthy, 11-11 all-time in the postseason. He's been a favorite quite a bit in Dallas. He did cover last year. John Harbaugh comes to mind just because he's been around for so long. Mike Tomlin hasn't been in the playoffs in a long time. I think Coughlin's a good selection. I'd be willing to ride with that selection with you.
Let's go with Coughlin.
The correct answer is Tom Coughlin.
Yeah!
He won 9 games as an underdog, 2 with the Jags and 7 with the Giants.
We'd like to dedicate that one to Bubba.
Yeah.
Who thought we were going to get it wrong. Not only did you have to endure the trophy presentation, we got it right in your face.
Suck it, Bubba. That's
Bubba,
right.
Bubba having a hell of a week. Bubba, go play the lottery.
Bubba spent 4 days in airports coming back after a nightmare scenario in Dallas with the long goodbye, as we call it. And just, if you have a half an hour, you want to hear this whole story from Bubba because it is amazing
half
what he went
hour.
Through. That's how long this story takes.
It's like church.
I know. It's a commitment. But Bubba sat there and just the idea of poor Bubba sitting down, all fired up, all the other Cowboy fans he's hanging out in the stadium with, it's him and his dad. Everybody's all jacked up.
On Greeny.
And you black out and it's 14-0.
Yeah.
It is all over. Within the blink of an eye.
Tough beat. One other thing to throw in there. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to address you two, Wilner and Handman.
Yeah.
We rested the starters in week 18 of the pick 'em.
Yep.
We did not make the selections. They did. They went 3-0.
Yes,
perfect 3-0. Now, it was already in hand. It had already been decided. The trophy was already won. But you guys bolstered the record, and for that, we appreciate you.
Jimmy G has 2 Super Bowl rings, so.
Yeah. You could be the Jimmy
I'll
G.
I'll take it.
Yeah, okay. It's a good spot to be.
It's fair.
It's good to be Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah,
he's very clear about that.
It's
Evan.
Not bad.
I was just going to give the update on the Hembo Hammer standings. Carlin catching Hembo. Carlin's at 6. Hembo has stumped you guys 7 times. And Joe, you've gotten it right 4.
How does this one right here count?
Both get a win.
Yeah. You both get a win because we agree with each other?
Yes.
Yeah.
Carlin's got 6.
Yeah.
Damn.
I didn't even realize that.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even know we were keeping score of this.
It's what you get when it's a Hall of Famer, boys. All right? We don't screw around.
He might go. He's about to go on a run. We might. You know what? I got a couple pizza monies for tonight. We might want to know what the big boy likes for tonight. Maybe we switch pizza money over to my right.
No, I'm still listening to you because you're still on a bit of a heater. No matter what happens,
he just went into the Hall of Fame. This could be a Hall of Fame pick.
All right, that's fair.
Maybe that's just fair. One, maybe just something.
Yeah.
A couple NBA games tonight. The Knicks are big favorites. They beat up on bad teams.
Have you gotten into a Hall of Fame? High school, college, anything?
No.
Do you plan on that happening?
I had never thought about it.
Yeah.
The fact that you got in, it was like, at least I get to shoot a video for this. That's the closest I'm going to get. Your induction.
I got to believe at some point here you're getting in one.
We're not looking for a Hall of Fame. We're looking for early retirement. That's if I retire early, that's my Hall of Fame.
Carlin just sounded like Tommy Boy, by the way, when he finally graduates college. He's like, you know, they give out a lot more D pluses than they do D minuses.
Truthfully, I got a D minus in a class. That actually happened. And I remember seeing the professor the next semester. I'm like, why'd you even bother?